Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your direction in our lives by your word. We thank you that you have given us everything we need for life and godliness because we know you. And thank you for your word's work in our lives to transform us into the image of Christ, but also to give us wisdom so that we can walk worthy of you. And so I pray that you would also allow your word to direct us in how we should pray on a daily basis, Father. Not only that we would be steadfast and thankful as we pray, but that we would pray the prayers that you have given us in your word. So direct us now as we look at your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So we are in our series of prayers in the New Testament, and we're looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 this evening. So please turn there in your Bibles. And this is the last sermon in the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians prayer series. But there's only, we looked at three prayers from these two books, and this is the last one now. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, looking at the first five verses. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. So I believe the Bible should shape the way we pray, not just on Sundays and Wednesday nights, but also every day. We can get into habits, so we pray for only certain things and only certain ways. What do you pray for every day? Well, the Lord's Prayer is a helpful guide to see if we are praying for what God wants us to pray for. In the Lord's Prayer, there are five main requests. First is that God's name be glorified. It's the hallowed be your name. The second is that God's kingdom come and will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's for God to advance his purposes on this earth. Third is the daily provision of our needs. The fourth is the forgiveness of our sins. And the fifth is protection from evil, I believe specifically the evil one, the devil. If we're honest, we often spend 90% of our time praying for one of those requests. So that God would provide for our needs. So that's 90% of our time praying for 20% of the Lord's Prayer. I don't know, the Bible doesn't say we need to use math like that, but I just like to analyze it that way, to spur our thinking on to how we're praying. Now, the God wants us to come to him with our needs, and he will provide for us. But the reason we have the Lord's Prayer and the other prayers in the Bible is to direct us in how we should pray. Here's another way we can think about how we pray. Let's say you ask me if I know how to cook or bake. And I say, yes, I can make this scrumptious 7-layer German chocolate cake. I've made it for years, and my friends always want me to bring my cake to parties and cookouts. I've perfected the process, and it is out of this world. This is amazing. Of course, you want to know, A, can you have some? And B, what other foods I can make? So, well, if he can make a 7-layer German chocolate cake that well, I have to see what else he can make. And you ask me, so what other stuff do you like to make? And I say, that's all. That's all the food I know how to make. Just the 7-layer German chocolate cake. And you wonder, can you make brownies? No. Can you make spaghetti? No. Chili? No. Never tried. Can you make mac and cheese? No. My mom taught me only how to bake German chocolate cake with 7 layers. When we pray only for the provision of our physical needs, or only pray for our health concerns, we are like the person who can only bake one recipe and refuses to learn how to make other recipes. Now, this is good news, okay? So if you can bake a 7-layer German chocolate cake, you have the skills to make other food, okay? You could use those skills and make other things that are probably healthier to eat than a 7-layer German chocolate cake. What then should we pray for? Well, the Lord's Prayer is a helpful guide, but there are other prayers in the Bible. And I've really appreciated this book that's called Calling on the Name of the Lord. It's just a survey of prayer from Genesis to Revelation. And really, for me, it was good, but the 10-page conclusion was worth the price of the book. And I've copied that conclusion and give it to people. It's just fantastic. So the author, Gary Miller, his heart is that people would pray the prayers that God has given so that God would answer. So you want God to answer your prayers? Well, we'll pray the prayers that he has given in his word. Then we can be assured that he will answer us. And he, in his summary, he gives 5 main ways that God has told us we should pray in the New Testament. And this is not the list, identical list I would have come up with, but I think it's helpful because it shows us the core of what we should be focusing on. And this is on in your outline, if you have one. So the first thing that we need to pray for is pray for forgiveness. 1 John 1 talks about that, obviously the Lord's Prayer as well. Secondly, we are to pray to know God better. And that was our focus this morning from Ephesians 1. Pray that God would give us the Holy Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can know him better. Thirdly, we are to pray for wisdom. And we look at that a few weeks ago in Colossians 1. Paul prays that God would give you the spirit of wisdom so that you can walk worthy of his calling. Also, James 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God and he will give. And then, fourthly, we are to pray for strength to live for God. And there's a few places you can find this, but one of them is Ephesians chapter 3, where we ask for strength so that Christ can dwell in our hearts and so that we can experience the love of God. And fourth and fifthly, we are to pray for the spread of the gospel. And we'll see this in our text this evening. We see it in the Lord's Prayer for God's kingdom to come. We see it in Colossians 4, which will be next Sunday morning sermon. But pray for the spread of the gospel. You can expand this, but I think this is helpful to show what is the core of what Christians should be praying for. Forgiveness, to know God better, to pray for wisdom, for strength to live for God, and for the spread of the gospel. Just like the person who learns how to bake from their mom, so we learn to pray by listening to others around us. And this can be a very good thing, and sometimes it's not so helpful. If we are taught to pray just for our physical needs, then we are like the person who can only bake a chocolate cake that they learned from their mom. However we have been taught to pray, we can always grow. So it's encouragement, like, I want to grow. Well, you can. You can grow in prayer. And this is an encouragement this evening, is that we can all grow by letting our prayers be saturated with Scripture and allow God to teach us how to pray. In our text this evening, we have a prayer from the Apostle Paul. And he is wrapping up his second letter to the Thessalonian believers. He wants them to pray for him and his ministry. And in verse 5, he prays for them. So I kind of see this as like an everyday prayer. He's kind of wrapping up his letter, and this is kind of a snapshot of the prayer life of the Apostle Paul. So what can we learn from the Apostle Paul and what he prays for? First, number one, pray for the glorification of God's word. Pray for the glorification of God's word. Verse 1 starts off, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you. So what does it mean that the word of the Lord should run swiftly and be glorified? It means that they are to pray that the word of God has a powerful effect when it is spoken. That is, it is believed and people get saved and churches are built. The word of the Lord was glorified among the Thessalonian believers. Do you remember that account? We actually, this morning, Joe read it in the scripture reading from Acts 17. I'm going to repeat that just to jog your memory about how God's word worked among the Thessalonian believers. So Acts 17, verse 1, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went in to them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ.' And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas." But what happens, the unbelieving Jews got jealous and caused a riot, and Paul and Silas took off for the next city. So even though they were just there for a few short weeks, the word of God took hold. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting at verse 5, Paul talks about how the gospel took a hold of the believers. "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." And so that's a beautiful snapshot of what it means that the word of God would run swiftly and be glorified, is that people turned from their idols to the true and living God, and they were patient through affliction. And then Paul is praying that this would happen again as he journeyed around and spoke the gospel. So 3 weeks in a city, and God's word takes hold of people, and they stay faithful through suffering. That's amazing. It would be awesome if that would happen every time God's word is spoken. Just 3 weeks in a new city, and there's a church born. But why don't we see this happen all the time? Well, because God's word is not a sword we wield by ourselves. The Holy Spirit uses the word of God to accomplish everything God has planned. So that's why we speak the word of God and pray, because God must work for his word to run swiftly and be glorified. Because God must make his word effective in the hearts of people who hear, and so that's why we pray. So God must glorify his word and make it spread swiftly. This is something we can pray for our community and every place where our missionaries serve, and for the whole globe. When God answers this prayer, his word is unstoppable. And that's how God's word is spreading in places like Iran, Iraq, and North Korea, because God is powerful and is answering this prayer. This is a prayer we can and should pray every day. And this is similar to the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, that God's name would be hallowed and that his kingdom would come as well. So that's the first request. The second request, that Paul prays for protection from evil. Paul prays for protection from evil. Verses 2 and 3, "And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." So this is a request that Paul and his companions would be protected from evil people. But then he goes on and talks about the evil one. God will guard you from the evil one. And these are not two separate things that are happening here. Satan will use evil people to try to stop God and his people. So when we pray that God will protect us from evil, it's the whole swath. The evil one and evil people, they're not two separate things. The evil one influences this world and evil people to hurt the church. For the Apostle Paul, danger always awaited him. So it's like when we go on a road trip, we pray for like journey mercies, which is highway. It is dangerous to drive a car. I'm going very fast, and there's other cars around you. I understand. But I think his was a little bit more dangerous, how he traveled. It was dangerous to travel across the Roman Empire. There was robbers on the road. And then if you went by sea, you could die in a shipwreck. And Paul had multiple shipwrecks. And specific to Paul's ministry were Jews who were angry at him, like in Thessalonica. And then the Gentiles were also angry at him when he disrupted their idol worship and idol trade because people were turning to Christ. So there was angry people all around him, and it was a dangerous place to live. And of course, children of the devil are not happy when Jesus Christ is preached and exalted. Protection from evil and the evil one are not so Paul can have a comfortable life. It's like, I'm just fed up. Like, every time I go somewhere, bad things happen. You know, I'm getting stoned, I'm getting a shipwreck. Like, I just want to retire, okay? I just want to retire and take it easy. And no, this is so that the word of God can spread and he can carry on with his mission to spread the gospel. This is exactly what we are told to pray for in the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So, very similar. And then thirdly, this is the prayer that Paul gives for the Thessalonians. Pray for direction into God's love. Pray for direction into God's love. So in verse 4, Paul expresses his confidence that the Thessalonian believers will follow his commands, well, specifically here, that they would pray for him and his ministry. Then he says this in verse 5. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience or endurance of Christ. This is his prayer for the Thessalonians, that God would direct their hearts. Our hearts are unruly and often incline away from God. And that's why we pray that God would direct our hearts. Our hearts are often like toddlers at a park, just scurrying around. And if you don't manage things correctly, someone's going to get hurt and someone's going to get into trouble, maybe both. And that's what our hearts are like. So we need God's direction of our hearts. So what are our hearts directed toward? What's the prayer? The love of God first, and the patience or steadfastness or endurance of Christ. Now, the love of God can mean our love for God or God's love for us. And I think often in the Bible, in the New Testament, the love of God is God's love for us. This is similar to how Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 3 that we would grasp more and more the greatness of God's love for us. And this is shorthand, that our hearts would be directed to the love of God so that we would know it and experience it. We also need to be directed to the patience or steadfastness of Christ. This is endurance that Christ gives us. I think that's how I interpret that that phrase, the steadfastness or patience of Christ. It's the endurance that Christ gives his people. Romans 15, 4 and 5 remind us that God, through the scriptures, gives us patience and comfort. We need this prayer because we need to know God's love for us, and we need the endurance that Christ gives so that we can make it through life to heaven. So I love this little prayer that God would direct us, our hearts, into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. So this is kind of shorthand for other prayers, such as Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, and also Colossians 1, where Paul prays that we would be strengthened with all power for endurance and patience with joy. So this is kind of shorthand for those bigger prayers that he has elsewhere. But we need this. We need to experience the love of God, and we need the endurance that Christ gives us. So he wraps up here. This wraps up the prayers that Paul prays for the Thessalonian believers. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, he prays that God would make them increase and abound in love for one another. so that they would become holy. That's a beautiful prayer. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he prays that God would make them worthy of his calling and fulfill their faith-filled plans. And then these prayers are only prayers that God can answer, because it takes supernatural power to change our hearts. It takes supernatural power to direct our hearts to the love of God and the steadfastness of Jesus Christ. So how should we pray every day? We should pray what God has given us in his word, because we want to honor him in how we pray. And we want God to answer our prayers. So pray prayers that he would answer. He said he would answer. In this prayer, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we find a few things to direct our everyday prayers. The first way is that God encourages us to look inside, to look inside. God wants to direct your heart. He has grand plans to change you into a person who looks like Jesus Christ. So don't only pray for clothes to wear and food to eat and health for your body, but those are all good things that God wants to hear. But also pray for God to change your heart, to incline and direct your heart into his love. Second, look beyond yourself. Look beyond yourself. God has grand plans for this world, to spread his gospel and to save people from every people group on this globe. This is a fantastic grand plan, and it will be accomplished. So pray for his word to spread in our community and across the world, and then be amazed to see what God does. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and for the prayers that are in here. I pray that your word would be glorified in our community, and we long for people to accept Jesus Christ and be saved. We think of our sportsman's night coming up in March, and we pray that this would be an opportunity where your word would be glorified and run ahead swiftly, and people would accept the offer of salvation in Jesus. Father, we also pray that you would protect us from evil people that would seek to do us harm, but also evil people that would seek to harm our country. And I pray that we would be able to live peaceable, quiet lives in all godliness. Father, I pray that you protect us from the evil one and temptation, from the evil one's snares and traps that he has. And I pray that we wouldn't be complacent, but be aware of his schemes. Father, I pray that you would direct our hearts into the love of God, and that we would come to know the vastness of your love for us in Jesus Christ. And I pray that you would also direct our hearts into the steadfastness of Christ, that you would grant us endurance and patience with joy in this pilgrimage toward heaven. So, Lord, thank you that these are prayers that you will answer, and we look forward to how you will answer them. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.